Welcome to Dodgers Daily. Casey Porter here alongside Austin Brubaker, as I am each and every episode. That Austin is kind enough to join us. So, hey, breaking news. Got to talk about it a little bit on Twitter this morning. I hinted who it was. I couldn't give names. I had off the record type information, of which, Austin, you know very well. We get a lot of that off the record. And hey, off the record to Dodgers Daily is off the record. We do not go past our boundaries. It is not worth breaking a news story. So hinted as much as I could. Andy Páez is headed to LA. I'll say this before you dive in. I have been totally wrong on his timeline going all the way back to the offseason. I told you I had basically nothing on him. I mean, it was quiet on his front. I didn't even think he'd be totally healthy to start the season. And then, you know, saw him in spring training. He looked great the first couple of swings. And then the timeline for me was like June or July. And I say all this to say, I think that probably was the right timeline, but Andy Páez has been so good and so explosive. Sometimes prospects just make you have to take them up, and I think we're squarely in that scenario with Andy Páez.
Yeah, it is. Andy Páez has delivered, and Andy Páez has now arrived for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He has been a very talented, hyped-up prospect for many years, dating back to his years in the system, back to 2021, when he had a 150 WRC plus in Great Lakes. Just has had an incredible journey through the course of his minor league career.
And he swings and slices one down the left field line.
Of power off of the bat. That pull side home run type power is absolutely there for Andy Páez. He can elevate, he can lift the ball, which is something that's going to help in offense. And he can do it with not just that as the exclusive skill set that he has. He also has many other abilities, like being able to draw walks, not striking out at an exorbitant rate, be able to play a
lot. Less than 25%.
Yeah, he can play a lot in the outfield. He's played at center field. He kind of profiles, I think, best as right field because of that electric bazooka type arm that he has out in the outfield. He's also an incredibly clutch hitter. We've seen him step up at the minor league level in some of the most critical moments of his teams during that time. Andy Páez, we have talked about for a long time because of the potential, because of the talent level that he has. And with where the Dodgers are at, obviously, last night was disappointing to lose to the Washington Nationals. The offense, especially at the bottom of the lineup, struggling a little bit. I talked a little bit about that on the show last night. Andy Páez is going to be an electric force added to that bottom of the lineup. And especially with some of the news, Jason Hayward is not going to be back quite yet, a little bit delayed, I think, than what the Dodgers had anticipated. Taylor Trammell, I think, was kind of filling that shoes for a Jason Hayward until he returned. But I think it's taken a little bit longer than anticipated. And with the production level that Andy Páez has had through the course of the early part of the Oklahoma City Baseball Club season and what he did in spring training, he's not only back being healthy, he's back being his most productive self, which is hitting for a ton of power. It is being just an electric force on the offensive side. Andy Páez is an exciting baseball player to watch. I'm excited to see him in a Dodgers uniform, and I'm curious to see how the Dodgers are going to utilize Andy Páez going forward.
They're
going to
play him every day. I think if they're going to bring him up, they're going to play him. They're not going to sit him. It's not going to be a Taylor Trammell deal.
Well, I'm expecting him to get significant more at-bats than a Taylor Trammell. Yeah. It is about getting him the opportunity to realize the potential that Andy Páez has in order to help him elevate and grow him. And especially with a lot of the struggles that you're seeing with a Kike Hernandez, with a Chris Taylor in the lineup right now, Andy Páez should and deserves to have the opportunity to grow and develop into that big league type outfielder. There is a hole. There is room for him to be able to do this. And now there is the opportunity for him to showcase his skill set. So I'm excited to see him be able to do that. And I'm hoping the Dodgers give him the significant runtime that he needs to be able to match the caliber of player, the potential that Andy Páez has.
Absolutely. You know, he grew up a catcher. And so that kind of matched his arm strength, and he kind of grew out of that. So he kind of course, this isn't what you make decisions on, but I mean, he definitely easily could be the emergency catcher on the roster if you absolutely had to have him do that. But hey, you said that, yeah, he probably profiles as the right fielder. Coming into last year, at the beginning of last year, I would have said, hey, he is 100% absolutely. Let me get some video up on him actually throwing the ball. This is going to be a little bit clunky. But coming into last year, I would have said most definitely he absolutely is a right fielder. And then he lost the 15 to 25 pounds, however much it was. And because of that, I think now he definitely easily could play some center field as well. Here's, and let me go ahead and flip that over. Here's Andy Páez throwing the baseball here. Watch this bazooka of an arm. You don't see it in the air, but I can tell you that's a one-hop to Cody Hosey, who, by the way, is in AAA. That is an absolute cannon from Andy Páez. But I think now, because he's lost the weight, he's way more maneuverable in the outfield, I think he can easily play all three positions at this point and at a plus level defensively. So Andy Páez, super, super, super exciting. I think he just forced his way onto the issue. And also, hey, man, when you've lost, what, five out of your last 11 games or whatever, three out of your last four, sometimes, you know, hey, this is a team that's all in. We've seen them with the Gavin Lux deal earlier. They're not messing around this year, right? And they're like, hey, we're not getting production out of these veteran dudes anyways. Why not bring up a guy that could bring some excitement, a guy that can hit some home runs, have a less than 25% strikeout rate, and just bring, you know, hey, the fans want it. We all know the fans want it. Let's do it. So super excited about him.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be able to see his journey and as he progresses in a Dodgers uniform to get that big league experience. This is for his family, this is absolutely huge for the fans, for the Dodgers. I think this is going to be a turning point and just something that's going to just continue to help elevate this offense that already is a really good offense, but could just use a little bit of that extra spark. I think Andy Páez is going to be able to provide that little bit of extra spark and a little bit more home run power and dynamic play with his bat.
Okay, before we actually get into our thoughts on last night's game, I wanted to talk about another promotion and a major league debut last night. I don't like to usually say, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way. I hope you don't take it that way. But if you have followed Dodgers Daily at all and been awake at all, you know who Ricky Venasco is. Hey, we've talked about him on multiple shows. Matter of fact, did an entire launch angle on Ricky Venasco. Plus, we did a show on prospects that have an ETA 2024, and he was like one of the first guys we highlighted. This is a guy, Ricky Venasco, that was going to ETA 2024. We've been telling you that was going to happen. We've also been telling you just how good he is. Hey, his spin rate on his fastball that can hit 98, it hit 96 last night. Look at that curveball. That curveball is dirty, by the way. But the spin rate on his four-seam fastball, 2,500 last night, Austin. There you go. 2,500 spin rate for Ricky Venasco. 2,600 is like absolutely elite in the major leagues. So you saw the elite spin rate of Ricky Venasco. You saw the huge curveball. You're seeing him right here. And also, here's the deal. Let me give you the story on him. Ricky Venasco is a guy that was with the Rangers. He had Tommy John in 2020, so he had to recover from that. Then he came back and just wasn't getting past the Tommy John, was a starter with the Rangers, just wasn't progressing the way that they wanted, but yet they still put him on the 40-man roster because he was eligible for the Rule 5 draft. And they didn't want to lose him to the Rule 5 draft. So the Rangers put him on their 40-man roster, didn't make the progress they wanted, so they DFA him, right? The Dodgers got him at the beginning of last year after the Rangers DFA'd him. The Dodgers put him on their 40-man roster. Then they DFA'd Ricky Venasco. So he was not on the 40-man roster last year. Finished last year as probably, and I'm not exaggerating, probably the best reliever in all of minor league baseball. Again, I know that sounds like an exaggeration, and I love talking big about these prospects, but I'm telling you, that's not an exaggeration. Just go back to my conversation with the AAA play-by-play voice, Alex Friedman. That is a fact. He was just absolutely money last year. So we promised you that he would be pitching somewhere in the major leagues in 2024, And then the Dodgers allowed him to become a free agent, and it was like a head scratcher. It was like, what the hell are we doing, man? I mean, this guy's dynamite. This guy's great. And then about a couple of days later, the Dodgers signed him to a major league contract. And away we go. And Ricky Venasco got to show you last night exactly how good he is. I know the Dodgers lost. It's one of 162. Sometimes it happens, but I am so excited, if you can't tell, about Andy Páez, Ricky Venasco, all the there's other deals in the works, but if you can't tell, I'm super excited about that.
Oh, so incredibly excited. And I think that journey just speaks to how much of a trial it has been just trying to, for Ricky Venasco to get that opportunity to get up to the big league level, to reach that goal that he's been working for his entire life to make it there. And last night he showed up and he performed something that there has been a lot of struggles with this Dodgers bullpen. There's been a lot of concerns. Ricky Venasco has shown that at least during this one outing, during the two innings that he got, he can go out there, be effective, and get major league quality hitters out. He pitched a perfect two innings last night, got his first major league career strikeout, which was great to see. Just so incredibly cool to see Ricky Venasco with his stuff, with that fastball curveball combination that he has. It is nasty, and he can get a lot of hitters out. And as you stated, we saw a lot of growth for him when he came over from Texas to the Dodgers organization last year and was pitching for the Dodgers. It is incredible to watch the journey that he has and the growth that he has. And I think he's going to continue to be in the conversation and be part of this Dodgers bullpen going forward. However, this bullpen takes shape as the Dodgers are maneuvering all things around with his Dodgers bullpen. Ricky Venasco last night made a statement, and that statement is, don't forget about me and provide innings for me and I will be effective.
I would totally agree with that. So super excited by Andy Páez, super excited by Ricky Venasco. So let's dive into last night's game. Hey, I'll say this, over the weekend, no doubt about it, frustrated just by the shuffling, all the transactions. Kind of felt like the Dodgers shot themselves on their own foot just by creating chaos they didn't have to create, and kind of gave a game away, maybe two games away, just by maybe being a little bit too cute with some of the roster transactions. Not going to sugarcoat it. That's just my opinion. That's really what frustrated me the most. Hey, I've lost a lot of games in my life, lost a lot of big games. And when if you're a fan, a coach, a player, you're going to lose games. It's not that. It's just you just hate to give them away when there's situations you felt like you could have controlled yourself a little bit better. So I say all that just to say, hey, last night's just baseball, man. I mean, sometimes you hit the ball, sometimes you don't. As good as Tyler Glasnow is, sometimes you throw out a clunker. And I mean, just simply put, last night was that. Last night was different than this past weekend. I just felt like last night was just a result of just how baseball goes from time to time. Not worried about it whatsoever. And I feel like the Dodgers, you know, are headed in the right direction from that aspect. But that's just kind of how I took away last night.
Yeah, you got to tip your cap to the Washington Nationals, who showed up and performed when a lot of us didn't expect them to because of the reputation that they've had over the past couple of seasons with some of their records. They've got some good players on the team. Last night, Tyler Glasnow did give up several runs, and I think that is uncharacteristic, definitely, from the type of pitcher that he is and has been. We went from seeing the 14 strikeout performance in Minnesota to seeing him struggle to against the Nationals. And I think his performance in Minnesota is a much more representative of the type of pitcher Tyler Glasnow is than the pitcher that went up last night and the performance that he had against the Nationals. This is just baseball. This is going to happen over the course of 162 through the course of 30 plus starts that you have through the course of the season. I'm not worried about Tyler Glasnow one bit. Obviously, it's disappointing for the Dodgers to lose. They're on a little bit of a skid right now, losing the series to the Padres, losing that last game against Minnesota has left a little bit of a bitter taste in your mouth. I still think there are good signs. I still think this offense is still there, albeit some of the hitters are struggling towards the bottom half of the lineup, which there's a little bit of spark with Andy Pájez. I still think Tyler Glass now is a great elite pitcher, and they're going to be a move. They're going to be maneuvering and continue to maneuver a whole bunch of different pieces around to be able to fit this puzzle together. I'm excited that they are seem to start to be bringing up and using some of the talent that they have in this farm system as well. This is something that I know we've called for quite a bit because we see the level of talent that they had. We saw showcased Ricky Venasco yesterday and the talent that he has. I think you're going to see more additional talent be brought up and be able to be on display. That is going to be exciting. And I think the Dodgers are going to be fine. They're going to find their way again. And a lot of the struggles that we're seeing right now will alleviate itself over the course of 162.
So whenever you evaluate a loss, of course, for competitors, every loss sucks. I mean, if you ever lose that feeling of just being just pissed about losing, that's when you need to quit, right? Like, hey, man, losing this game isn't bothering me the way it should be. I mean, Eddie always tells me, hey, that frustration that you feel turns into motivation, right? Like, I'm frustrated, and that motivates me to want to go do something about it. That's how you deal with that. So whenever you evaluate a loss, you kind of go, okay, well, did this loss happen because, hey, we did everything we could and just things didn't work out? Things that will work out in the future more times than they don't, they just didn't tonight. Is that what happened? If you can come to that conclusion and go, you know what? It just didn't work out, but, hey, the things that went wrong tonight won't go wrong very often throughout the rest of the regular season. When you can evaluate it like that, you can put your head to bed at night and sleep really comfortably because you're like, okay, man, it's then you're like, okay, yeah, that's the process, right? It's whenever you go, oh my God, I mean, I don't know how to fix this, or I shot my own self in the foot. Those are the ones that really bother you. So, hey, I wanted to finish our conversation on the LA Dodgers with that today. I know it's kind of brief. We went into pretty heavy yesterday about the weekend series. Saturday went into it pretty thick too. But those are our thoughts there, Austin. So you ready to take a trip? Plus, we have a lot of prospect coverage to get to for all the weekend action. You ready to take a trip down the farm?
Absolutely.
All right, the first guy we're going to talk about, of course, Rancho, they got wiped out to rain on both Saturday and Sunday. So Great Lakes, they actually got wiped out on Friday, played a doubleheader on Saturday. So what we're going to do with our coverage, instead of trying, we're going to mention everybody that needs mention. We're going to try to have a theme for each level, you know, Rancho being the lowest level affiliate, and then Great Lakes after Rancho, and then Tulsa after Great Lakes, and Oklahoma City after Tulsa. So to try to keep it to where you can actually, you know, maybe absorb a little bit of the extensive coverage here, we're going to try to have a theme. So I think the theme to the weekend for the Loons, obviously they hit the crap out of the ball, right? But the two performances from two very good friends, you're seeing here Jared Karros on your screen and also Peter Hubeck, and I'm going to go into their stories. Jared Karros, 92-94 on the fastball. He has maybe the best curveball in all the minor leagues. And again, I know that sounds like that might be a big exaggeration, but watch this curveball right there. Whoop, no, that one, not that one there. But you're going to see it here in just a minute. He has a, well, that one right there, a wicked curveball. Now, here's a story behind the curveballs. Him and Peter, there it is. There's that really big curveball. Him and Peter Hubeck were sitting around like baseball players do, and Hubeck actually throws a spike curveball. And the advantage to spiking the curveball is that you get more downward pressure, so you get more of a 12-6 rotation to it. Imagine spiking your finger and imagine that amount of pressure that it puts on a downward tilt to that ball. So it gets that ball spinning downward, which gives it more of a 12-6 tilt to it. And so Peter Hubeck, who's always spiked his big curveball, actually showed Jared Karros how to spike his curveball, and now you get that right there. So the theme here is Jared Karros, Peter Hubeck, two guys that have great pitch ability, meaning they know how to locate, they know how to move the ball, they have good velo. Jared Karros, I believe, is 6'6", 6'7", so it comes out of the sky. But the theme here is I want you to understand just how devastating that spike curveball is from both of those guys.
Oh, it's absolutely devastating. I had the opportunity to actually be there. So it was Jared Karros on Saturday, game one against the Lugnuts. And then game two, they went up against Peter Hubeck. And it was like the Lansing Lugnut hitters had no idea what to do against both of them because they are both elite talents. You saw Peter Hubeck in game two get a lot of swing and miss. I think it was eight strikeouts.
This is Hubeck right here, by the way.
Yeah, I think it was eight strikeouts that he had against the Lugnuts, just getting a ton of swing and miss and not letting a lot of base runners on base on that day. And then Jared Karros goes out there and is just a pitcher. I think that is the best way to describe him. He'll go out there and just get hitters out whatever way he possibly can. Both of those guys, incredible talents. And the success that they had at the end of 2023 is 100% carrying over to the start of the 2024 campaign in Great Lakes from 2023 to them just going out there dominating, winning that end of the series against Fort Wayne, to them starting this year just both going out there and both performing incredibly well. You mentioned it, the curveballs are great. Some of the fastballs are really good too. They're able just to get a lot of hitters out in unique ways, and right now they're dominating Midwest League hitters.
Boy, look at that changeup too. And I want to mention right here, if you look on the screen and you look at this, this is called a lower third whenever you're doing graphics on a broadcast. If you look right here, it tells you who the pitcher is. And a lot of times it'll tell you who the batter is. It's hard for me to pull up, and the editing is very difficult, so sometimes I don't put their names on there. Sometimes when I have time, I do. But if not, look for these lower thirds and see if you can find the name of the pitcher and the name of the batter. A lot of times that's on there. You can see it right there where it says pitcher Karros. So that will give you a good idea. Also, Peter Hubeck, of course, Jared Karros is the son of Eric Karros and got to play with his brother Kyle Karros at UCLA, and that was really fun. They got to actually play against each other in spring training as well. And his dad always gets really nervous whenever he pitches, so that's really cool. And then Peter Hubeck, also his dad is an administrator at Gilman High School. Let me flip over to Peter right now and show you some video of him, because Peter Hubeck was simply fantastic this weekend. Dad, an administrator, former assistant coach at Gilman. Gilman, I guess they call it, I think it's a private school. And boy, look at that big spike curveball there. And I say that to say he was an assistant coach under Larry Sheets. Yes, the Larry Sheets that was in the major leagues. The father of Gavin Sheets, who was in the White Sox. So Peter and Gavin are really good friends, and the White Sox and Dodgers share a spring training facility. So that's really fun for those two best friends to get to hang out with each other during spring training. And then also, while he was like in 11, 12-ish, something like that, Cal Ripken Jr., his boy was coming through, and he was one of the assistant coaches. So you had Larry Sheets, who was a major leaguer, Cal Ripken Jr., who's a Hall of Famer, and then his dad were the three coaches. Now, how could you not love baseball in that scenario? Now, again, see right here where it says pitcher Hubeck? Go ahead and look on that part of the screen if we throw up one of these videos, and you'll know who we're talking about here.
Yeah, no, it incredible stories that are there for each one of these guys. They're both incredible talents. They're striking out a whole lot. I don't think Jared Karros has allowed a walk yet in his two performances that he has. Both of them are going out there shoving. They're performing. They are the two leaders right now of this Loons pitching staff. It is great to see. When they go out there, you expect them to have a really good performance, because their track record right now to this point is indicating that they will.
Okay, let's move on to our next guy on the offensive side. I think the theme defense from a pitching perspective definitely was Hubeck, and then also Karros, because they have a tie together, that spike curveball. Noah Miller, how about the walk-off? He had the exciting walk-off, the four hits over the weekend. I mean, this guy just really, really, really came into his own offensively this weekend. So I know Noah Miller, he's one that you're really close with, Austin, because you got to see him in the Midwest League Finals last year when the Loons were unsuccessfully trying to beat him. So I know you're super excited that, hey, if you can't beat him, join him, right?
Yeah, no, this was the especially during that opening weekend was kind of the main story, and this continued through the course of the week in Lansing, was the redemptive and parallel nature of Noah Miller, who was a Cedar Rapids Colonel in 2023 and was on the field and defeated the Loons to close the 2023 season for them. The second appearance in the Midwest League Championship for the Loons. And then you start the 2024 season, and it is Noah Miller, who got traded in the Manny Margot trade, being the hero for the Loons. And just from what I've been able to see from him so far, I think the biggest things, one, his defensive ability is absolutely insane. He is 100% a defensive-minded type of player, meaning that he can do incredible things defensively. I've seen some short hops that he's just been able to pick it like it's nothing. This defense for the Loons is absolutely incredible, but it's in addition his offensive components that has added and aided him to become a really great prospect. We saw his first home run of the season happen. I believe it was on Saturday. Saturday he had his first home run of the season, and he's continued with that. He's hit for some extra base hits. He's gotten some of those singles. He can play kind of all around. He's just a baseball player. Yeah. One of those guys that you want to be on your team. Noah Miller has been so incredibly impressive, and he's taken over one of the leadership type roles on this Loons teams, which over the weekend didn't just see the outbreak of performance of Noah Miller. Going into the doubleheader on Saturday, they had one of the worst offenses to that point in the Midwest League with around 60-ish WRC plus. Now they went from a team WRC plus of around 60 to a team WRC plus of around 115 over the span of three games, because they won 12-1 and then 8-5 on the doubleheader on Saturday. And remember, those are 7-inning games. And then you fast forward to Sunday, the next day, they continued that performance with a 12-4 victory. You saw great performances from some other guys. I'm just going to run through the list right now. Like a Luis Rodriguez, top international prospect, absolutely broke out.
Let me throw some video up on him, because this dude had a huge, huge weekend right there.
Oh,
unconscious.
He hit over 600 over the course of the entire week against the Lugnuts. He was absolutely unreal. Hit for some extra base power, but that ability to make really hard, consistent contact was really impressive to see.
7 for 12. 7 for 12. Two doubles, a home run.
Yeah, just absolutely unbelievable what he was able to do through the course of this week. Absolutely, Luis Rodriguez, don't forget about him. Some other guys I'll just run through quickly. Chris Newell started to hit for some extra base pop. That was incredible to see. We got to see home runs and a couple of base hits from Dylan Campbell. We got to see the return of Alex Freeland come back on, and he drew a bunch of walks, hit for some extra base hits. Kyle Nevin, Jordan Thompson, a bunch of guys that are stepping up for this Great Lakes Loons team and turning this offense into a real bright spot for this team. And as the weather starts to warm up a little bit here in the Midwest, I know it's still fairly cold, although this weekend actually wasn't too bad. That's, I think, going to even help this offense even more, and we're going to continue to see the growth and development around some of the best coaches in minor league baseball at the Great Lakes level.
Okay, so Rancho Cucamonga, again, they were rained out on Saturday and Sunday. They are the lowest affiliates, the lowest affiliated. Now, again, you do have the complex, but Rancho is the first affiliate. They call that the single A level. Up from that one level is your high A level, which is the one that Austin, that big Great Lakes hat that you have on there. That's the high A level. The next level up, that is the Great Lakes Loons. Just talked about them. So if you graduate from the Great Lakes Loons, guess where you go, Austin?
Where's that?
To the Double A Tulsa Drillers, which, quite frankly, this weekend was kind of a dud for them. So the two guys we're going to talk about one pitcher and a guy that I think you really need to know. And the reason I think you need to know this guy is because he is known as the spin doctor. I think I just gave that away to folks that follow Dodgers Daily much at all. Let me get to some video on him and flip that over. That would be Key West native Antonio Knowles. His slider is so elite that they actually call him a spin doctor, and they've actually given him to pair with that. So he was throwing the slider, but because his fastball wasn't getting by barrels, he was having to be too perfect with his fastball. So they gave him to kind of match that slider, they gave him a little bit of a two-seam to turn right with it, and that's really helped Antonio Knowles. This is a guy that has a lot of swing and miss stuff to him. It's a guy that goes on long, long, long heaters. He had a period in July, August last year in the middle of the summer, right when it got hot. He struggled for a couple of months, and most of it was with his command, which makes sense when you rely on one of your secondary pitches to beat your go-to pitch. It's a feel-heavy type situation, so he really is needing to incorporate a fastball that can get by barrels a little bit more. He's been able to do that, so I'm super excited to watch Antonio Knowles, who is a high-leverage right-hand reliever at the AA level for the AA Tulsa Drillers.
Yeah, and it's important to take into account and pay attention to a lot of these relief pitchers as well, as we saw on display for the Dodgers, Ricky Venasco being able to call up and Dodgers being able to utilize him. And the Dodgers have what seems like an endless supply of great, young, talented relief pitchers. And Antonio Knowles is for sure and absolutely a part of that equation with that slider that he has, which we've just said is an absolutely elite pitch, because it is. It gets a ton of swing and miss. And the development and growth that he's going on right now is adding those additional pitchers as the talent level increases in AA and eventually as he gets into AAA and the major leagues, as the hitters just continue to get better and better, finding those ways to be able to add additional pitches like the two-seamer to be able to get hitters to not barrel up the ball. And that's going to add to the effectiveness that the spin doctor has on his slider. It's so incredibly cool to see the journey that he's continued to go on, because he's talented. He's got a ton of spin, and that stuff is what the Dodgers are looking for. And the spin doctor, Antonio Knowles, has that stuff.
Yep. So just remember, the spin doctor, if you need to, you know, kind of a theme for each player that might jog your memory as far as, okay, who is that guy, that kind of deal, because, man, there's a lot of players in these systems, right? Spin doctor, you just saw that spin right there on that slider. And he's from Key West. He's a big family-first guy. So Antonio Knowles, another thing here, too. Hey, again, just whenever we're talking about these guys, just find that lower third graphic. That lower third graphic, typically speaking, will show the names of both the pitcher and the hitter. So if you're like, well, who in the heck, if you just came in the middle of when we're talking about somebody, find that lower third. It will tell you who we're talking about almost every time. Most of these videos, again, that they take do have a lower third somewhere that will show you that. Okay, the next guy we're going to get to, watch this cover, watch this hip, boom. That is a 3-2-1 liftoff. Jose Ramos, that's the Budweiser deck. When that dude ties into one and is connected like that, hitting a home run, nobody is more impressive than Jose Ramos. Now, you're going to see a sliding catch from him. Those are the fun things, the exciting things that we know Jose Ramos can do, right? Like, he's extremely explosive. He's super exciting. There, I love that fire. There's that sliding catch right there. The question's going to be, can he find the consistency on offense, put the ball in play, and walk less? So what you need to know about Jose Ramos, he's an explosive athlete right there. He can play all three outfield positions. Huge arm. He has an Andy Páez-type arm. Massive power. He has all five tools. One of the most toolsy players in all of baseball at any level. It's going to come down to consistency, swing and miss, and whether he can walk.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely right, because he has very similar skill sets to an Andy Páez, who is being called up to the major leagues with the Dodgers. And if all of the pieces, if the consistency is able to fall in line, you could see a Jose Ramos be able to break out and be that level, that type of player. He can play all three positions defensively. His power, as you saw, is unreal, similar to a Páez type of power. Finding these tools, finding this consistency.
It's as good as Páez power. I mean, when he hits a ball, he hit one in Tulsa that is the furthest one that Dennis Higgins had ever seen. He absolutely has massive power, yeah.
Absolutely, Jose Ramos has massive power. If he's able to find that consistency, watch out for Jose Ramos. He is absolutely a player that you need to know of. If you are excited about Andy Pages, be rooting for Jose Ramos. You can have another similar type level of elite talent player.
Yeah, another guy I want to give a shout-out to, Braden Fisher. Also had a scoreless inning, so Braden Fisher, you're seeing him pitch right here. Has done a very good job for Double A Tulsa. Any final thoughts on that level before we move to the highest level of the minor leagues, Triple A, Austin?
Yeah, I think especially during, I remember one of the games, I know rushing came within a couple feet of hitting the walk-off home run during one of the games. I know there are lots of past couple of days, which was pretty disappointing, and that's going to be uncharacteristic for this Tulsa Drillers Club. I think they have an insane amount of talent. And I think they're going to win a lot more games than what they lose. And I think it's a really hungry bunch. And I'm excited to see the development that that team has.
Yeah, there is the dead center field home run by Dalton Rushing. And boy, that the carry on that ball was simply just phenomenal. That dude has massive power. Okay, at the AAA level, the number one theme definitely was Andy Pages, another guy that has started off very, very, very well, a guy that is a big friend of Dodgers Daily. And hey, I've only interviewed the guy once. I mean, and he's a quiet guy. He keeps to himself. I am not a huge fan of Drew Avens because he comes on and does interviews or does any of that. It has nothing to do with that. It's because the dude is actually really, really freaking good. So Andy Pages has done a really nice job early for AAA Oklahoma City. And then also a guy we're going to talk about here is Drew Avens. We're talking, first of all, talk about Drew Avens and the job that he's doing for AAA. And then we'll get into Andre Lipsius.
Yeah, Drew Avens is a baseball player. That is what you need to know. And right now, he is having a ton of success, albeit early in the season. 151 WRC plus so far in the season, 12 games in for a Drew Avens. He can do just about everything on the baseball field that you could possibly ask for of him. He's hitting really well. Drew Avens is going out there performing, and his journey that he's going on, obviously being right now stuck in Oklahoma City, he's fighting for an opportunity for either the Dodgers or another organization. And if he continues to perform like this, he's going to hopefully find a way to fight for his big league career.
100% about that. And I do hope at some point his grind ends up in the major leagues because he deserves it. Okay, yeah. Andre Lipsius, this is another one that you're super excited about. You got to see him in the Tigers system. Man, what a first weekend he had. By the way, just to finish up on Drew Avens, he definitely is having a great start. Hits in 7 games in a row, hits in 8 of his last 9 games. He has hits in all but two games this year. And he went 7-for-16 this last weekend with 2 triples. So that finishes up our talk on Drew Avens. That's how good he has been. Andre Lipsius, you are very familiar with him.
Yeah, no, Andre Lipsius has a ton of skill set, a ton of tools that he has. Being an infielder within this organization, came over from Detroit, was designated for assignment, still part of this Dodgers system, and the Dodgers have to be absolutely thrilled that they still have the talent of Andre Lipsius. Has good plate discipline type skills and the ability to be able to hit the baseball. I know opening weekend he had a couple of home runs, I believe, had made some really good contact. Andre Lipsius is going to be additional depth to the system, and I think if he is given the opportunity, I think he'll have the ability to be able to showcase a really valuable piece for this Dodgers team. I think he is definitely a player, Andre Lipsius, to continue to watch out for.
Yeah, we also talked about, let me flip this back, Nabil Chrismat, I always say that wrong, Nabil Chrismat, and then Denelson Lamet had really great outings on Friday. I think they're on the doorstep. So, hey, Trey Sweeney, I think he's playing very well as well. It would be interesting, Miguel Vargas is playing well. If the Dodgers felt like they needed to pull up a infield-type player, I think it'd be interesting to see if they chose Sweeney or Lipsius. I think they would be the next two, though.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, especially with a lot of the struggles with a Kike Hernandez and Chris Taylor. I know a lot of Dodgers fans are frustrated, especially with Chris Taylor and their performances that they have. be on the lookout for some of these younger guys because they could be the guys to step up. Obviously, I think the Dodgers are going to give both Kike and Chris Taylor plenty of runtime. However, if these guys keep performing, these guys keep elevating, the pressure is going to become more and more and more, and the Dodgers could be in a really good position to where they have guys that they could call up if they wanted to pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, I think some of the guys that would be the closest to call up, Jesse Hahn on the pitching side, a veteran guy that the Dodgers love on a minor league contract. I covered him on the last show. Denelson Lamet, who had spin rate over 2,500 in his relief performance on Friday. Nabil Kreismat, who is just a professional pitcher. I think on the pitching side, those would be the three that you're looking at and the most immediate. Of course, then all your prospects like Landon Knack and those guys. But anyways, on the defensive side, I think obviously Andy Paz already got called up, but I think on the position player side, your guys that would have the first chances of getting called up, Miguel Vargas, Andre Lipsius, Miguel Vargas, who's now a left fielder, Andre Lipsius, who's a versatile infielder. I think also Kevin Padlow, who's off to a good start, big first baseman, could play some third base if you needed him to. And then also both of your catchers, whether it be Chris Oakey or Hunter Fiducia. I think those are the guys that are on call right now. Am I missing anybody or am I off there, you think?
I think those are the most likely guys. If something went down or the Dodgers just felt like they needed a spark, they felt like they needed a spark today as they, I don't know if they've officially announced it yet, but all the reports are that Andy Pages is going to be a Dodger, and he will be a Dodger coming up pretty soon. And you could see with the Dodgers make an additional new move with the farm system, with the level of talent that they have for the Oklahoma City Baseball Club.
Of course, Fire Eisen just got thrown back down. Also, Alec Gamboa, John Rooney, both had good performances last night. We featured them quite a bit. You guys know their story very well if you follow Dodgers Daily at all. So we will keep in touch with them, but hopefully they get a chance up. Another guy I wanted to mention, pitching-wise, Drew Pomeranz. I think Drew Pomeranz would also, he's a guy that, you know, one of those veteran guys that the Dodgers love. So keep in, and then also another guy that's been really good, that has major league experience, Eduardo Salazar. I've covered him a couple of times. Very good two-seam slider combo. So I think on the pitching side, let me go through those again. Guys that are on call, Nabil Kreismat. I think obviously J.P. Fireisen, we've seen him. So Nabil Kreismat, J.P. Fireisen, Jesse Hahn, who has major league experience, Eliezer Hernandez, who threw last night. He's another guy that I think's on call. There's four. Denelson Lamet, Drew Pomeranz, Eduardo Salazar. So I think there's a pool of about 6 to 7 pitchers that are on call right now for the Oklahoma City Dodgers that could get the call to the major leagues at any time from position player side. Your catchers would be Hunter Fiducia, Chris Oakey. If you needed a catcher, if something happens to Will Smith or Austin Barnes. Position player side, again, just to wrap up who we think it's on call the most, Miguel Vargas, obviously, and then I think Andre Lipsius, Kevin Padlow, and then I think it'd come down to either Lipsius or Trey Sweeney. And I think those are your guys that are the most imminent to the major league. So final thoughts down on the farm, Austin.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting action happening down at the farm. Just want to give one additional shout out. Jake Geloff, California League Offensive Player of the Week. Very excited about Jake Geloff and his ability that he has performed. We're seeing great action from guys that are down on the farm. Also want to give a couple of additional shout outs to some former guys that were down on the farm. Nick Destrini made his major league debut, 5 innings, had 5 strikeouts, only gave up two runs for the White Sox, pitched incredibly well. Super excited for Nick Destrini making his major league debut. He's going to be a staple in that White Sox rotation.
Hey, by the way, both of us, he wasn't even on their 40-man roster as of like a month ago. Both you and I both went, hey, yeah, he's going to make his ETA this year in 2024. Don't even worry about it. It's going to happen. And like, we got a lot of blowback because we're like, well, he's not even on their 40-man roster, blah, 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 and this and that, because Dodgers fans can get kind of defensive about players that they trade as far as, hey, did we make a good trade here or there? And it was like, yeah, well, fine, whatever, but he's going to ETA in 2024. Yeah. So that was super exciting to see that.
Yeah, him and Jordan Leisure are going to shove, which Jordan Leisure is performing incredibly well to start the season. And then also, you get everybody's talking about it. You got to give the shout out to Michael Busch, home runs in five straight games for the Chicago Cubs. We knew the level of talent that he has, and yeah, he's performing incredibly well now that he's getting the necessary and proper runtime with the Cubs.
So I don't care if this makes Dodgers fans upset that we're happy about a player for another team doing well. I could care less, because these guys, we are huge fans of them and their grind. And when we see a Nick Nastrini go out and make his major league debut and shove, a Jordan Leisure go out and show what we knew he was capable of, and Michael Busch go out there and finally get vindication, because that's what it is, man. I mean, he didn't get opportunity here. And say what you want, these guys are pros, but that feels good for Michael Busch to say, you know what, I told you I was good enough to be a major leaguer. Now watch this, right? Hey, that makes, you know, I kind of asked Scott Hennessy, the AA manager, this question. When a guy gets promoted, do you feel like a proud father, an uncle, an older brother? He said, yes, all the above. So when these guys like Nick Nastrini, they make it, you kind of feel like that. Like you're connected to it, and it's like you just feel that sense of pride and excitement for them, because in a very, 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 very small, minute and irrelevant way, we've shared this grind with them because we've gotten to see it, right?
Yeah, and I think this is something to keep in mind as the Dodgers are calling up some really talented players that are still part of this organization, like a Pajes, like a Venasco, like some of the other guys that they are going to be calling up this week more than likely. Give them the proper runtime, and they're going to go out there, shove, and succeed at the big league level. And I'm excited to see Nastrini and Michael Busch be able to get that success.
No doubt about that. Hey, great show tonight, Day Austin. Thank you so much for joining. And so I want to thank everybody else for tuning in. You Dodgers Daily fans, we say it all the time, you are absolutely the best crowd out there. Thank you for tuning in again, and go Dodgers.